Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Sura meraya majapama datana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Yeah, can come. I better do it now. Come. Okay. Or use the cord. The my cordless. Sally. Yeah. Now pass it to Yun Chan.
So your the passport, you want to send on Tuesday or we choose a Sunday? You can talk to the the tour agent, and he can collect directly from you. So we come over to Brother Steele's house on October 4th. That easier for everybody.
I think we make it either or better. Those who can bring on Tuesday, you bring on September. Oh, you don't want to take care. But only Tuesday class, no? Oh, yeah, 4th of October, you suggest.
You do the Thursday class as well.
You ask them to get ready by what day, so that allow him to collect. Okay.
You also have to specify what food you want to eat. Actually, going, we need to have food. Return is actually a midnight flight. So you may not require. We arrive back at about 5 a.m. in the morning. So you may not need food in on the way back. But going, you need food. So you can choose either nasi lemak or the vegetarian biryani is vegetarian. They also have another vegetarian. It's a kung po vegetarian. Or not much choice. The only other one is satay. So you all state what you want on the When you submit your passport and your photo, lah.
Yeah. Maybe you prepare a list, so that on that day they just tick, tick. They just tick the passport given. Tick. Yeah, lah. When they submit the passport, they tick. Then the food also at the side tick. Prepare a table.
I give him a list. He will bring the list along.
Yeah.
And he will ask him to bring the list.
Yeah. Then put at the side there what type of breakfast they want, or meals they want.
No, not breakfast, lunch.
Lunch lah. What type of meal they want? He said breakfast. He will give us. He will throw in the breakfast, so you don't need to eat breakfast now that morning.
He will provide breakfast.
Meal is on the plane.
Meal on the plane.
Yeah, but that morning breakfast at the airport, he will arrange for us all. He will ask the store to fry and cook first, he said. But you must let him know what you want. So we told him, you just order, we just share it out. The usual one. Make sure the day is correct.
Oh, your calendar. Yes, on the 15th. So it should be Sunday or Saturday? Sunday. So what day is suitable? What time is suitable?
Anytime. Sunday morning better. 9:30 or 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock better, I think. 10 o'clock better, so that most people can have enough time for whatever they want to do. 10 o'clock. So I will make use of that morning to give a briefing also.
And hand it to him directly.
Plus the check,
plus
yes.
The check.
Yeah, you must bring
if
the
you
check.
If you are giving a check, bring a check and give it to him.
You can put payable to the company there.
Sion Travel.
I think in the email you write it down one more time.
Send out another mail.
Okay. So we settle, thank you so much. Oh, it's okay. Can we get the light off? We can start the meditation straight away. Okay. So as usual, we're supposed to have 40 minutes of meditation. So now maybe our meditation is left with half an hour. So for those who already know how to meditate, you straight away can start. Then for the benefit of some who may be new or who still need instruction, I will just summarize what you need to do. I hope you all have read through the transcript, 12 September 2013. That one is very clear and very detailed. So I just want to give you a summary. The form of meditation that we do here is actually to train the mind so that you can develop sati, which is mindfulness. Mindfulness, when stabilized, become samadhi. Then once you have stabilized the mindfulness, sati and samadhi will allow you to meditate, because with sati and samadhi there is no thought, the mind is unwavering, there is clarity, there is just awareness. Then you can see things as they are to develop the wisdom, and you can also insight into phenomena. That's why there is the meditative mind. So all the method technique that people teach you, they are only skillful means to train the mind. The object of meditation or the method and the technique that they give it to you is to anchor the mind so that this mind does not wander off. Then you're supposed to train your mind by developing mindfulness on this object of meditation. Just like anapana sati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So when you train your mind to develop anapana sati, it means you train your mind to develop mindfulness on the in and out breath. We have to breathe every day, every moment. So this breath will go in and go out naturally on its own according to its physical rhythm. So you can maintain awareness or mindfulness in front of your nostril to be aware of this in and out breath. That is anapanasati. That's why they will teach you every time you wander off, bring the mind back. So that is aware of this in and out breath. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. You just train it that way. For some who find it difficult to do anapanasati because your mind is heedless. Throughout the day, you think a lot. You have a lot of wrong view, habitual tendency that condition the mental hindrance. So this heedlessness, when they become very powerful, it's very difficult for you to train this mind. Because the hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. So what you need to do is, you need to decondition this heedless thinking. And the best way is to start off with the mind sweeping method, where you just relax body and mind. Maintain a stable sitting posture. Then make sure your backbone is straight. Then you close your eye. Then you feel, you don't think. Feel your forehead, starting with your forehead. Then you sweep it down slowly. Whatever tension, tightness or stress within that you feel, you just relax, relax, relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move your attention to your eye muscle, do the same. Just feel and relax every part. Then you move on to your facial muscle, do the same. Scan through your facial muscle and make sure every part is soothingly relaxed. Then in order to assist you to relax further, you can use loving kindness or metta to develop the inner well-being to help you relax better. Then you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can see your own smile, there is joy. The mind that has joy is very, very relaxed. There is no tension. So the facial muscle all will be naturally relaxed when you are able to radiate a radiant smile. And this radiant smile will help you in many ways. Then you can start radiating metta by radiating as follows. You can start with yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your heart. Your entire body and mind, feel it soothingly relaxed, having the well-being and happiness. Then may it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all danger and harm. May its mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can radiate metta to all beings. Known and unknown, seen and unseen within this vicinity. Then to all Dhamma friends, to all your loved ones, and you wish them the same. May all my loved ones, Dhamma friends, and all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you radiate the same metta to all beings within the entire SS2 Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our planet, Mother Earth, then all beings within the entire solar system, the entire galaxy of ours, then the entire universe, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. So by now you'll be more peaceful. Then you can go back to your facial muscle and continue the mind sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking. This mind sweeping method together with metta will make you more calm and more peaceful. You will develop inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then you train your mind by moving this mind to the location you want it to be. You can feel your shoulder relax, feel your hand relax, then back to shoulder relax, then you feel your heart within your chest area. You just silence your mind and feel. If you can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, you just stay there, silent everything, and allow the mind to be. For those who have yet to train the mind, if your sati is still not established yet, you cannot feel, because the heartbeat is too subtle for you to feel, and any other vibration within your body and mind, within your heart area, is too subtle for you to feel. So you just feel like you feel your forehead, relax every part within your body and mind. Then you move your attention now to your stomach, do the same, feel, relax, abdomen, feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax, then your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this whole process of mind sweeping method from leg back to buttock, feel, relax, abdomen, feel, relax, stomach, feel, relax, then your heart area, feel, and just relax. Then you move to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, feel and relax, neck, facial muscle, eye muscle, and forehead. By now your mind should be more calm, more quiet, more tranquil. The inner peace and inner well-being should develop. So now you can stabilize this sati or mindfulness that you have developed by training it in anapanasati. You can anchor the mind to whatever object of meditation that you are familiar. If you are not having any object of meditation, then you can use what the Buddha used. Develop mindfulness on the in and out breath, anapanasati. You just feel your breathing. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel in front of your nostril. You just feel. When you detect your breathing, mind and the breath move as one without thought. Just like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Continue to train. Every time the mind wanders off, patiently bring it back. After a while, it will stabilize. Then your mind in anapanasati will be very beautiful. It will arise the peace within, the calm within. Then piti will arise, the type of spiritual joy or rapture. Then you continue to relax and silent. It will develop into sukha, which is a spiritual bliss, more intense than the joy. Then you continue to train, develop more and more, silent more and more, relax more and more your body and mind. Then your sati will accumulate into what they call pasati, until everything becomes very subtle, very peaceful, very quiet, very tranquil, very still. That is the meditative mind, that is the silent mind. So when you develop pasati, you just silent everything. Technically, when you stabilize this pasati, you don't need any object of meditation to anchor the sati anymore. The mind that is in sati does not need any dwelling. It can just stay silent on its own. You can develop what they call the general spacious awareness, just silent aware. Initially, maybe not easy. You need training. That's why you continue the nanapanasati until it becomes very stable and very, very subtle. Then when you reach the state of pasati, the form and mind will understand. Then after that, you continue to silent, don't do anything. If you need to go to the heart, then stay there, relax and silent everything. Then allow this silent mind to develop understanding. The mind that is in spacious general awareness can be aware of all the sense bases. Upon contact of mind with any of the six sense doors, the silent mind will detect and it will understand. So meditation is about developing this meditative state of silent mind to understand all phenomena that arise and pass away and all your sense bases. You will witness all of the essential Buddhist teaching, the Buddha's Dhamma, the law of dependent origination, the Four Noble Truths, the Three Evil Roots, the Five Spiritual Faculties, Seven Factors of Enlightenment, including the Five Hindrances. You will see them all. And the Paticca Samuppada of dependent origination link, 12 link, they are all there. And it will be very clear. Okay, with this, I will let you meditate. Then I will ring the bell when it's about 9:40. Sorry, when it's 9:10, we supposed to have 40 minutes of meditation only. So now it's 8:55, we got 15 more minutes. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who cannot, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. So as usual, always remember we are here to train the mind to develop heedfulness. So the first training is sati, then stabilize it. You can combine with metta and the mind sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking. The key to meditation is to develop the five spiritual faculties. When the spiritual faculties are there, the hindrance cease by itself. And the mental hindrance, you need to really develop the spiritual faculties to counter them. Spiritual faculties can be developed through puja, through formal meditation, through contemplation and reflection. So puja is normally to develop the faith, the sadha and the virya. Then when you bow, you develop sati. Contemplation and reflection and inquiry will strengthen your faith, sadha. Then virya will become more stable. Then it will drive you to cultivate. That's how you go for meditation. You develop daily mindfulness. You go for a retreat. So when your mind is already trained, stabilized, then use it to meditate in the daily life. The daily mindfulness is the real meditation. Train your mind to have this daily mindfulness so that throughout the day you are more or less mindful. And use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So when you use the sti that you have trained and developed and stabilized to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you are heedful. Heedfulness is ever mindful, constantly meditative. So ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path is heedfulness. Okay, that summarize what we need to understand. So we open up for meditation reporting. Make full use of the Q&A session. Then you can ask questions after that. Who wants to report their meditation? Anybody? Ready? Nothing to report. Nobody want to report. Pass the mic to Huirong. At least she got questions. Or anybody got questions? Anything? Male one? Well, like that, straight away go to the Dhamma. No reporting. Yun Chan want to report anything or not? Want to report your meditation? Or ask any question? Nothing, Alicia, look at me, sure got question. try, never mind.
No, I don't really have a question. It's just that the Sunday chanting keep on coming.
Very good. Means it
the
shows.
Rhythm keep
inside. Yeah, it shows one thing. You have done it in your past. Means this chanting you have affinity. So if it keep on arising, you only need to silence your mind and be aware of it. Then when the awareness and the music become one, that is sati. And this type of Mahayana chanting is very good because you are chanting Heart Sutta, the Great Compassionate Sutta, Tape Cho, Sing Jing. These are the great teachings of Guan Yin Bodhisattva. The Heart Sutta is the perfection of Prajna. They call it Prajna Paramita Sutta or the Heart Sutta. That's why it has a lot of wisdom. Prajna is wisdom. Paramita is perfection. So it's the perfection of wisdom. Then Great Compassionate Mantra is because Guan Yin Bodhisattva has great compassion. So this mantra actually, when you chant, you repeat the 84 manifestation of Guan Yin Bodhisattva. All these 84 great manifestation of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, they have their name. So Tapito is to chant with respect and understanding of all these 84 great manifestation of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. That's why it's called the Great Compassionate Mantra. The mantra are pronunciation words, but not much meaning. So that's why you chant Tonariye or whatever, or the name. So if it arises, it's something good for you. Then you just let it arise. Then you find out how come it arises. If because you have affinity with them. Then after you connect back, you will come to understand how you do it in the past. And this chanting become very powerful, because it has the great vow of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Once you're sincere, then you diligently develop the cultivation, then you chant, it will connect you to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's great vow. Then it brings forth the causes and conditions for whatever aspiration or vow that you make in your distant past and even this life. It will materialize, because Kuan Yin has a very special vow. She vowed to take all living beings across, especially those who have affinity with her nature. Then she vowed whomsoever recite her mantra, the Great Compassionate Mantra, or chant the Sing Jing, or chant the Four Hao, Namo Kuan Sing Pusa, or Om Me Mi Pe Mi Hum, or the Sing Jing final, the what they call summary, Gate Gate Parasam Gate Pohi Swata. So Jeti Jeti Pohi Jeti, the one you all sing, Polosu. Then Pohi Satoa. So when you chant that one with faith, with sincerity, it will have a what they call a response. The vow will respond naturally. So when you have faith, you connect, then you move. You move very fast. So all these are very important understanding. Okay, anybody else wants to report their meditation or ask any question? Don't have. Ah, yeah, Sally. Yeah, you use the mic for the recording. Push it up, push it up.
Mentioning 84 manifestation. What do you mean by that?
We are Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. She came to our world system many times, but there were 84 births where she came under different name, Manasa. No, it's just like this life, I come in this form, understand? But if, let's say like Kuan Yin, when they come, where they have their perfection, everything. So that particular life at Puthosan, that is one of the manifestations, understand? Puthosan, every time you come, also different name, understand? That is what people call them. But when they come as a human being, they have a name. Understand? Like Sakyamuni, they have Siddhartha Gautama. Understand? But he is Sakyamuni Buddha. Like Hui Ning. His name initially was not Hui Ning. But the spiritual name will come. Understand? So when they manifest, it's that form and mind at that time. Then sometimes that same name, manifestation, can appear in many births, many births. So it doesn't mean that 84 means he come 84 times, no. Sometimes all the 84, they can manifest in many places. Because their vow has become so unique. It has become part of nature's law, because of their great perfections, wisdom and virtue. Okay? off already. Make sure it's turned off. Otherwise the battery will drain. Okay, you don't have any more question or reporting. We go back to our notes. We will continue from, I think there is this notes from Wu Pingqing, sir. Turn to page 4, the day we were at page 4. We finish we go to number 4, so we are at the bottom paragraph. The subheading is sati - mindfulness or awareness. So this question was asked by Sister Chui. Very good. You all have the notes or not? The title is, I think, Heart Sutta Satipatthana Lesson 5. Satipatthana Sutta and Meditation Class Lesson 5. Notes taken to assist in understanding. So this is about Pure Land chanting. Pure Land Mahayana chanting, is it meditation? We have covered. Then we have finished the pitfalls of thought-based meditation. This first part was a talk I delivered in Klang Tiratana Center. You can, you can read the recording, it's very good. Where I did a review, then I based on these notes, I delivered the talk, and it was very detailed. The Q&A were very good. You should go and listen to that talk. Then now we continue. Sati. Sister Chui asked this question, which is a very good question. He said, "Brother Teo, I'm afraid I had to ask this somewhat simple question. Sati is in Pali means mindfulness or awareness, because I see the word being used interchangeably, and sometimes I just get confused. Can you please explain again? Thank you." So, you can understand the question. Sometimes I use sati, sometimes I use awareness. So she wants a clear explanation of what sati is and what awareness is. So what is your understanding? What is sati? What is sati? Don't look at the notes. If you can't even understand what sati is, then how are you going to develop the cultivation of it? What is sati? What is sati? What is sati? Come on, nobody. Mindfulness. So these two are words only. So explain to me what they are. What is the meaning of sati? What is the meaning of mindfulness? Check the note also cannot answer. very good. Still, you have to wait for somebody who cultivate. Mimi's answer is very good. Sati is? Try to remember. This is like physics now. If you don't know the definition of this term, you cannot develop the understanding and you cannot apply. Awareness before? What is knowing? Very good, okay. Before the knowing. How do you know? How do you know things? Through memory, then you perceive it in there. Because the moment you see something or hear something or smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, there is a perception of it through memory. Understand not? If you have not been taught that thing, you cannot give it a word or a label. Understand not? And you cannot call it by something. So whatever you know is through your perception. I already told you the mind is the knowing element. Whatever the mind knows is the form in the mind. Remember? Can follow that? How do you know that Buddha image? Huh? Through your seeing consciousness, and you perceive it there. So this external form enters your mind as well. The knowing of this Buddha image, Buddha Rupang, the external form, is a perception. Perception is what? Aggregate of mind, understand not? So perception is one of the aggregate of mind. Aggregate of mind. So this mind is called the mundane mind, understand not? This is not the true mind. That's why this mundane mind is conditionalizing. That's why it has this aggregate, and the aggregate of feeling, perception, thinking, mental state, mental formation, mental images, mental intention, all your planning, scheming, everything that your mind can do through its activity, they are called sankhara. So Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, they are the aggregates of mind. The last aggregate is consciousness. You can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So whatever that is born of these aggregates of mind, they are conditioned arising. They are not intrinsic within you. That's why feeling arise and pass away. Understand not? For feeling to arise, you need what? What you need for feeling to arise? Yeah? you need contact. Apart from contact, what else you need? You need the mind. Understand not? Then you need the sense basis. That's why these three conditions are the condition that is required for consciousness to come to be, understand not? So the moment upon contact, consciousness come to be, just like the physics experiment, understand not? But then within that content of consciousness, which is what you input into after you see something or hear something, smell, taste or tactile feel or think, that content that goes in, they are the aggregates of mind, understand not? Then they form a thought. Before that is pure awareness, pure consciousness without its content. So there's upon contact, the content of consciousness has its aggregate. There is feeling, there is perception, there is thinking, volition. You know what is volition? Mental intention. Yeah? That's why you got wholesome, unwholesome. That's why Abhidhamma they teach kusala and akusala citta. Yeah. Means wholesome and unwholesome consciousness. So all these have karmic implication. So wherever the knowing is, there is this perception, anasana. So when we say awareness before the knowing, means what? Before your mundane mind come out, anasana. Anasana. Before you start to labor, start to perceive, understand not? Start to think, start to react, start to use your conditioned mind through your views and opinion to react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Throughout the day, you have been doing that unconsciously, understand not? That's why you become heedless. You are hardly aware, hardly mindful. You just like mechanical, habitual, understand not? Throughout the day, non-stop doing. And you cannot see what is going on where you think that is what human being is all about. So when you develop the training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful, when your thinking slow down and become less, then you see all this very clearly. Then you realize, it's really, really delusion when you cannot understand what is happening in your life. When you cannot understand how mundane mind can make you so miserable. How through delusion it can cause you so much attachment grasping, clinging, that give rise to the evil roots, that condition your suffering, misery, even all your fear, your insecurity, your unhappiness, your sorrow and lamentation, your grief, they come from delusion, ignorance. So awareness before the knowing is sati, is what mindfulness is all about. Understand not? But to live life, you cannot just be aware. Understand not? Because if you aware and don't try to perceive, you cannot live. Understand not? To come to this world, to live, you have to use the thought, the mundane mind. Understand not? But you don't use it rampantly. You don't use it heedlessly. You use it with clarity, wisely. That's why you need to train this mind so that it listen to you, so that it serve you, understand not? Otherwise, the thought control you, understand not? It become the other way around. You become a servant to your thought. Your thought is your master. Thought say get angry, you get angry. Thought tell you all the funny thing. This guy is trying to do you. Don't listen to him. Preempt the situation, because you got all your memory, your fear, your insecurity. So you try to preempt whatever happened, and you cannot leave because you are always in a state of fear, insecurity. You think this is real. You want to protect yourself. You want to do something so that people cannot harm you, cannot take advantage of you. That type of life is crazy. Constant fear. But you don't understand nature's law. Nature's law that governs life. When you understand, you trust your karma, you trust your nature. Understand not? Whatever will be, will be. So you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to preempt anything. Understand not? You don't have to fear anything. That's why the Buddha said, you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Why you worry? People who worry is because they have a lot of negative, what they call karma. Just like Master Xuan Hua used to say, "千万要小心啊," in Mandarin, he said. Because he said, karma is 种因结果, means you reap what you sow. Whatever condition you plant, that is the fruit that you will reap. So he said, if you plant the root of seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. That's why he said, 种善因结善果，种恶因结恶果. Then he warned the living being. He said, 千万要小心，不要种错因结错果. You understand what he said? Don't plant the wrong seed to reap the wrong fruit. So when you understand that, then you realize you need to train your mind. You need to develop wisdom to be very wise so that you will not plant the seed of evil through heedlessness. So, karma is like that. There is a nature's law that governs all this. So you need to train, you need to develop heedfulness. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the enlightenment or the meditation is you have to train this mind so that you can use it to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, wholesome speech, right action, wholesome action, and right livelihood. Otherwise, you cannot live life. Otherwise, you will have wrong view, delusion that will condition your negativity, your action, speech, and thought. That's why your Noble Eightfold Path fall apart. Then the way you live your life through heedlessness is wrong livelihood, wrong living. So once you understand this, you know you have to train your mind to develop more and more of this silent within. When you are silent without thought, you already aware. Correct? By this definition, knowing is a thought. Understand? The moment I know, I arise a thought. Understand? I arise an aggregate perception. If I can stay silent and without thought, I already aware. That's why you don't try to be aware. All those who go to retreat, because they don't understand what sati is, they cultivate mindfulness. they try to develop mindfulness. How can you develop something that is already intrinsically inside you? Either you don't know that it was there, or you try to be gullible. And you go and do all this noting with the thought, thinking that is sati, that is mindfulness. The real sati is the moment you are silent, you're already in sati. But the trouble with living beings is they cannot be in sati. You know why? Because of the mental hindrance, asana. The Buddha said, but these hindrances are so powerful. Every time you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or thing, you react, asana, positive, negative. The essential desire, it will keep on arising, the first two hindrances. Oh. Then when you got problem, you got fear, worry, anxiety. Your mind become restless. So all these hindrances prevent you from being silent, asana, prevent you from being aware. Then when you got down, what you do? You lack confidence, you go and think, you go and worry, you have fear, anxiety, all these funny things. That's why a mind that is always like that is heedless, think a lot, not. And how can it be silent? That's why you are hardly aware, you are hardly in sati throughout the day. That's why the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. Just one sentence, finish everything. Because he also don't know how to help you, understand not. That's why you must train your mind to be heedful. Before he died, he reminded all the monks, strive on with heedfulness. Just one sentence. Apamadena sampadeta. You must develop apamada. Yeah. And you have to do it diligently. Yeah. And that is the famous advice, though. But very few people understand what apamada is. Yeah. See the importance of that. Because he said, the moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 21, confirm everything. He said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas you are heedless, you don't train your mind. The heedless are as if dead. So now clear not. Yeah? You must understand what is sati and understand Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23. And now we read through, you will develop better understanding. So this one you all should thank Chui. Eh? She gave the condition. So my answer, Maritio, it is a very good question, I told her. You see, sati is a Pali word. It's translated as mindfulness, a very commonly accepted translation. But no one really inquired into this word mindfulness. If you split up the two words, then you will get the meaning. Eh? The two words make up from mind in fullness, isn't it? That's why they combine and say mindfulness, understand not. But you never inquire and ask, what does it mean? What does this mean? The mind is full of what? Yeah? Full of what? If you say full of thought, then that is definitely not sati, understand not. So it is full of what? Huh? Because they don't know how to come up with an English word. English word don't have sati on it. You cannot have a word to describe that meditative state. So they come up with this English word, mind in fullness. Full of what? Definitely not full of thought. Isn't it? Yeah? Full of thought is not sati. Full of what? Yeah, awareness. Eh? But before the answer, we see how Chui answer. He said, I actually define it as mind in fullness of that moment. You understand what she said or not? To most people, like, correct, you always recollect present moment, isn't it? Present moment. Power of now. You think that is a T, isn't it? But the way it's phrased, you look at the wording, mind in fullness of that moment. But he never said full of what in that moment. So that's why this sentence is still not precise. So I say, it still doesn't explain anything, right? When you say mind in fullness of that moment, what are you trying to tell me? Because within that moment, you can also think, isn't it? That is the mind full of thinking within that moment. So if that is the case, that is not sati, understand or not? Then Chui quickly answer, no, you can't think when you are in the moment. Oh, also another very wise type of explanation. She said, how can you think? You are supposed to be mindful. But before he say that word, I already answer, Chui, you can be in the moment and still think. So when you are doing that, that's why living beings' problem is they cannot be in the moment and silent. The moment you are silent, you're already aware. Means the mind is full of sati, understand? Full of awareness, means fully aware, understand? That's why the Dhammapada verse 23, the Buddha said, constantly meditative, ever mindful. Ever mindful is continuous mindfulness, understand? You don't have any gap one, understand? That type of mindfulness, that's why he call it upacara samadhi. You are not in absorption. You are not in kanika samadhi. Kanika is moment to moment awareness. Just like Chui say, this moment aware, next moment aware, next moment aware. But in between the two moments, there is a lot of thinking. Until this moment become continuous, then no more thinking. That's why kanika samadhi is not stable enough. The right sati is what they call upacara samadhi, continuous mindfulness. So I go on to 4.1, a mind full of awareness, or continuous mindfulness, ever mindful. But when you are in the moment without thought, that is a different thing. So now can understand? Agree or not? The moment you are without thought, you already aware. But when you are heedless, even one split second without thought also you cannot do, I tell you. You remember before you train your mind to have sati, you can't even stop thinking for one split second, I tell you. You want to stop also you cannot stop. Because I ask a few people, where they tell me how to meditate. I say, very easy, just relax and silent. What do you mean by silent? Don't think lah. Then he tried, you know. I tell you, 10 out of 10 tell me you crazy. How to stop thinking? Cannot stop one, is it? My classmate told me, this is a university student, no? Straight A student, no? Very, very intelligent and smart. They say, cannot. Then the other one, lucky best. The moment I close my eye, I sleep. One cannot stop thinking, one sleeps straight. He said, he tried. They teach him yoga, everything. He becomes snoring yoga. The moment he closed, they are so tired. No? They need something that attract them to do, then only they stay awake. No? That's why they need to do technical things. Solve problem. Think of problem. Then work. Plan this, plan that. Then they won't sleep on because there is their career, that is their passion, and they like to do that, they do it very well. But the moment they got nothing to do, sleep that mind, just don't know how to rest. The only way to rest is to sleep. Then after that, snore. Then when he conscious that time, you tell him not to think, he tried, he said crazy, he said impossible. They can't even have one moment of silence, no? I tell you. That is how serious the heedless are. Have you tried before? You try. Silent, don't think. If you don't have an object of meditation, initially to be mindful, I tell you, the thought keep on coming out non-stop. You don't want to think also, you cannot. Your thought is respond to memory, your attachment, your accumulated fear, worry, anxiety, scars of memory, your experience. You all accumulate. Then this one is your attachment, your clinging, your craving, your unfinished problem and business. So they call this memory. Yeah. And this is the one that trigger off what they call release of thought. Otherwise, this brain can become crazy, cuckoo. It need to release, subconscious release. Otherwise, you put too many things there and hold on to it. I tell you, the brain need order. It need to recuperate, understand? It need to like stay fresh, understand? So after a tired day, what you do? You sleep. So during your sleep, you know what happened? The subconscious release. That's why sometimes you aware of it in a dream form. Then sometimes nightmare come. Then you wake up, understand? But if you are a person who have mindfulness awareness, sati very stable, I tell you, you hardly dream, almost no dream, and your mind very peaceful, very relaxed. The moment you're silent, you're fully aware. Then you want to sleep, you just sleep. You go into the unconscious. Then when you wake up, there's clarity. But the mind is not tired, understand? But the mind that has a lot of things inside there, unfinished business, sleep also you dream. You dream of the problem. Then after a while, you like, haven't done those things. Then suddenly you wake up. Then you realize you are dreaming. And a lot of people got nightmare, understand? All of a sudden, you see that they like want to like say something, but voice cannot come out, understand? Then sometimes like fear or whatever, like they struggle, but then sometimes funny voice come out, understand? Actually, they are dreaming. They got all this. Then sometimes you like hear them scolding people, understand? Actually, in their dream, they are scolding people. That's why you come out like that. Otherwise, it won't happen. So when you see your spouse, your loved one doing all that, you just touch you. Hey, okay or not? What dream? What nightmare? And it's very common for normal healers people. But these are subconscious release to make you recover. Understand? To bring about order in your brain. Otherwise, I tell you, you will become mad. You will end up in Tanjung Rambutan. You hold on to all this and don't allow it to come out. That's why sometimes you talk to people, express it out. Not so bad. You feel better. Understand? That's why certain depression patient or sick people, you have to talk to them so that they actually release whatever they hold inside. Otherwise, this one bottle up now. Bottle up, you know what happened? It will erupt like a bomb. Everything kokchi, kokchi, kokchi. In Cantonese, it's called bottle up. Kokchi, kokchi, kokchi. Suddenly, they just erupt. Understand? So, you don't put too much pressure on somebody. Otherwise, they will just erupt. Then sometimes you drive them to commit suicide. That day you saw in the paper or not? The number of suicide cases increased so much, until the government also panic now. They are talking about 20,000-30,000 every year. People that enter depression and have suicidal tendency, and people who really commit suicide, there are so many of these cases nowadays. You all didn't read, it's in the Star. When I saw it, I said, wow, heedlessness is so serious and so dangerous. Because it's not easy, and they are trying to do something about it, the government. What is it? Oh, Robin Williams. Oh, he is the author. Oh, that is the name of the disease. Oh, Robin Williams also committed suicide. Who is he? Also commits suicide. I know it's the Hong Kong film star or Taiwan film star. Is it? No, there's a Chinese one also commits suicide. Chang Zhang. Leslie Chang. Chang Kok Wing. He also committed suicide. And do you know? This one maybe not so good to mention. One of the Tan Sri son committed suicide also in Australia, jumped from the tower. Yeah, I think some of you will know who? You see, Chui say, the problem is the wrong guy that died. He wants those politicians who are corrupt. it's very, very, very good. Very, very good case study. Now you listen. He said, Brother Teo, it's the wrong guy that died. But she never asked, no, wrong according to who? According to her perception, he preferred the politician to die. So this guy shouldn't die. But karma say, this guy got his past. They have to die. That's why they die. Because the causes and conditions is different. They think until you become like that. So you think the politician is so cunning, they can go and think until you become like that. Unless they got caught, they get into deep trouble. And then they also will die like that. Otherwise, they happy-go-lucky. This life, they won't have serious problems. So. But there is no condition. So. But in future, they end up with life like those people. And then, they do that. But this is what you cause people. Let's say you are a politician. You didn't know you use your political rights and power. Then you create so much suffering. Then the rakyat all suffer somewhere, commit suicide. All this karma, you got to take one. No? Understand or not? Then every dollar you take, you got to come back and return or no. So how they return? They become cow, they become all the animal and work for people for many, many lives. Then sometimes they become slave. Understand or not? Well, last time you take advantage of people. This is the one. My captain, my wife very good. She managed to find. Robin William, the master of impression comedian. No, there is a write up on the commit suicide rate on, but it's not on this one. This one I read later. I don't even know who he is. Famous, I don't know. You don't ask me English actor and actress. Because the English film industry, you don't ask me. I don't even know any of the actor. Actually, I know also I cannot remember. Because I always see Chinese show when I was young. And all during our time, 60s and 70s. All these English show, I don't know. I got watched on TV, repeated, but I can never remember all the actor and actress name. Really, I cannot. I don't know why. Maybe not so much affinity with those type of culture. China one, yes. China one, a lot of affinity. So coming back to this part on sati, how did we go until like that? I was talking about one. Yeah, how did we enter that particular discussion? How did we go to depression? We were talking about sati. Heedlessness. Heedlessness. So now I read to you, 4.1. But when you are in the moment without thought, then you say, now I remember. Because people cannot be in the moment without thought. That's why I talk about my classmate, tell me, cannot silence. Then after that, become all this thing. Now I remember. It was from here. That is the condition. Yeah. You see, when you are in the moment without thought, then it's a different thing. Understand? That's why you all lucky. Actually, you should thank your lucky star, your good karma, that you know how to meditate. You know how to train your mind to develop sati. I tell you, it's a world of a difference to be heedful and to be heedless. Actually, while you gradually train and become like that and change over, you don't feel the what they call big difference. But you can remember how you were before you come to the Dhamma, especially Alicia, she will know Oh, she 100% convinced. Well, last time she was really, really, you ask her, when she came, I saw her fear, her sadness. That time she cannot smile, you know. She was caught in that depression for so long. Then when the Dhamma went in, I realized the first lesson, she kept on nodding her head. Everything that I share about the first over through suffering, she already first-hand information. Everything she's been through before. Then later on, as the Dhamma come in, she said, yeah, why so stupid? Our life, we have a choice. Why we allow it to be like that? Then she start to see. Then from there, she unwind. Then she starts to listen to the Dhamma. Then she starts to straighten her view. Then she chase Sui An for the talk. Every week, the talk. She tell Brother Sui An, say, when are you going to put it into the Dropbox? She go travel, she listen, everywhere she go, she listen. And that help her a lot and change her. Then she sees how from heedless, that very negative state, depressive state, change over until the mind is so free, so clear, so peaceful, so beautiful. Then first time she experienced peace and all those things. It take her a while, no? But there was great joy because she experienced suffering without understanding what is suffering. So when the first Noble Truth was proclaimed, especially the Four Noble Truths, it actually went in very fast. When the Buddha said, this Noble Truth of suffering is to be understood, he said, no need to explain. Already, first class experience, first hand experience. Already experienced so much suffering. The only difference is that time when she went through all this, she didn't know what suffering is. She didn't know what the Noble Truth is. So, when living being come to understand this Noble Truth, I already told you all before that nobody who understands the teaching or the Noble Truth will choose to suffer. You agree or not? When you understand the Four Noble Truths, you still so gullible, man. You will never choose to suffer anymore, understand not? Because you know this is suffering, this is crazy, misery, and the cause you already know. You know what suffering, you know the cause, you somehow don't want to work hard on the third and fourth Noble Truth to liberate your mind. You must be crazy, right? Like the Buddha said, oh no, that Sister Pauline not around. He said, if you like to play the game of suffering, go ahead and play. In Mandarin, she word it very well, he said. Human being like suffering, is it? Is it? 凡人喜欢痛苦. At first, the mother cannot understand. If you don't agree, then she asks you, why you whole day also play the game of suffering? 你在玩痛苦的游戏. Understand? What are you doing? Every day getting angry, unhappy, misery, full of fear, insecurity, unhappy. Understand? Everything also, you don't seem to be happy. Then you like so much problem. Then keep on complaining, blaming, then arguing, then worrying. My children, my son, their career, my in-law, my grandchildren, everything also problem. So that is not life. That is suffering. That is misery. And you worry about so much things because you attach to them. That's why everything can make you miserable. So when you understand the Noble Truth, the teaching, you don't have to be like that, isn't it? Life need not be this way, isn't it? Just like what Alicia went through. We have our choice. We hold the key to our own life destiny. Understand? Not? To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. If you have a choice, you will choose to be happy. Then why are you not happy? Huh? It's because you don't understand. You arise the wrong thought that condition your misery. That's why you have to use the four right effort. To arise the right thought, wholesome thought. Then to refine upon them and perfect them. Then abandon, right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong action, wrong speech. Abandoning the wrong thought is very important. It's a skill. You need mindfulness. Alicia will know. All these thoughts that every time make you miserable, sleepless, insomnia, and crazy, you somehow want to go and think. Yeah? Understand? Every time you think about your health problem, your children's problem, your in-law problem, you become miserable. You somehow want to go and think. Reflect, contemplate, and straighten your view. Accept them for what they are, Anasa. They have their karma. They also five aggregate of form and mind, not what you think, Anasa. You think you give birth to your children. Previous life could be your enemy. Come back and ask for that, Anasa. Come and collect that, you also don't know. You someone say, wait, my son, no, what can I do, man? My only son, all your property give to him willingly. Last time you sinned at him, you don't know, you make him so miserable. And now he make you miserable. How come I so have a son like that? You are paying your karma. If you don't become your children, you will not give willingly and miserably. Understand? No? That's why karma is like that. Don't play. This is the reality. So when you understand, your mind can liberate. Understand? No? So the Buddha already said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. You only need to train your mind to be heedful. To me, it's very simple. Not difficult at all. Why you still hesitate? I don't know. That's why those without the Dhamma are very pitiful. Because they don't understand what sati is, what heedfulness is. When you have heedfulness, you have clarity. You don't even think like that. Your heedless thinking no more. Your wrong thought no more. Your delusion no more. You have right view. You can accept things as they are. Even this aggregate of form and mind, your physical body, you know it's only element, not you. So you won't attach, you won't worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. You use it, understand? Like thought. Use it appropriately to arise the right thought, wholesome thought, beautiful thought. So that your life is beautiful. Yun Chang got a question. Yeah. Pass the mic back for the recording. Yes.
High suicide rates come from youngsters
and teenagers. Also from a lot of teenagers.
A lot of the the small businesses, you know, and they can't make ends meet.
Financial problem. When the Tai Long after them.
Yeah, and when
the loan shark after them.
Because they have to think. You said they don't think. They can't find a solution. That's why they keep on thinking.
You know what is their pressure? Their problem or not? Because they are under tremendous pressure. Understand? Pressure built up from ignorance, delusion. Understand? Desperate. When you become desperate, it can drive you crazy. Understand? Understand? That's why the mind cannot be pushed, cannot be forced into a situation where it will stress up. Understand? Then that release of hormone will lower your immune system and make you miserable. You know when you got fear, worry, anxiety, you know what type of hormone you release or not? There is this so eerie type of feeling inside your body, you realize not? It's very toxic. It will lower your immune system and make you very miserable. That's why you must not have stress, you must not have pressure. You know 80% of your body is water, remember? The scientists did an experiment. You put a glass of water, listen to nice music, the crystal come out beautiful. Understand? Listen to nice, gentle, pleasant word, music and all those vibrations. It come out beautiful crystal. But if you put on the pollution area, with all the pollution, the vibration, all very funny one, it's just like when you are having this mind state, every day also sad, every day also unhappy, every day also full of fear, worry, and like, you know what happened to your water molecule inside your body or not? 80% all become cuckoo. Understand? That's how you become like that. And you are the summation of all these. Understand? That's why when you radiate metta, loving kindness, all these cells regenerate, understand? Recuperate. Then the vibration make the crystal beautiful. Then you remain healthy. Understand? Your body remain like without those negative hormone, that positive metta force come out, understand? You can call it positive hormone. They make you very calm, very peaceful, very mindful, with a lot of clarity. That's why it's all over different. That's why your mind state is very important. That's why the Buddha and the Noble Eightfold Path is on. Right view leading to right thought. If you don't have right thought, in Cantonese, 死定了，谁漏一条啊？You sure keep on. That's why right thought is very important. And they never teach you what is right thought. Because they don't know what is right thought actually. They only say the Brahma Vihara is right thought. When you have Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upekkha, you have right thought. But they don't teach you what is wrong thought. That is the worst. That's why finally I realized, because living being cannot understand. That's why I come out with my own understanding. I define for you wrong thought. You go and check out the textbook. They never write this one. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition your negativity, your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, your three evil root of selfishness, emotional negativity, fear, insecure. All these are wrong thought. Actually, to summarize, thought that make you unhappy and miserable. It's wrong thought. That's all. Why you want to think that type of thought? It's just like you use thought negatively. That's why now you recall what I used to tell people. Learn to love yourself. Loving yourself is not selfish. When you love your child, means what? You will never allow anything to harm him or her. Yeah? You give whatever you have. You sacrifice for her. Yeah? Why can't you do the same love towards yourself? Love yourself means you don't harm yourself, hurt yourself, make yourself miserable, fearful. But every day you use your thought wrongly to hurt yourself, harm yourself, and make yourself crazy until cuckoo, want to commit suicide, still don't know. And you somehow, you say, you got metta. Crazy, I see living beings, you every day torture themselves, make them. That's why they lack love. I always say, have love and be love. Remember? Have love and be love. Means you must allow yourself to be loved. You love yourself. Love yourself is not crazy for make love to yourself. Not that type of love yourself. Love yourself means like you love your child. Never harm on yourself. Never make yourself miserable and unhappy. Make yourself beautiful. Make yourself pleasant, gentle, beautiful, inwardly, especially your mind. That's why I love yourself more and more. So that you be more and more kind to yourself, more and more gentle to yourself. Do not harm yourself. Do not hurt yourself. Be a wise person who have love. And always remember, when you have love, you will love everything, including yourself and others. So loving yourself is very important. That's why you must have right view with wisdom leading to right thought. Right thought, right action, right speech, and right livelihood is the pedestal of life. Understand not? Without this, you cannot live. Then if you got four right effort, it's a bonus. It's a blessing. Then after that, you got right mindfulness. Oh, you strike lottery. You fatat this. So, Dhamma is very beautiful, very rewarding. When you understand it this way, it's different, isn't it? It's no more like a pressure. Ayo, so much thing to cultivate, so much thing to learn. Ayo, not easy lah. Not for me lah. Crazy. But if you recall what I shared with you just now, my life, if I don't know how to apply the right thought, I don't know how to love myself, I become miserable. This is really stupid. That's why the Mahayana very good is a stupidity. That word very good. No? At least Theravada, they're more mild. No? Deluded. Deluded, not so bad in there. But very stupid. A lot of stupidity. The three evil they call greed, hatred, and stupidity. No? They use the word, you really stupid. Really? Really stupid. I look at it as sometimes Mahayana word is more precise. Really, isn't it? When you hurt yourself, harm yourself, you're really stupid, isn't it? Thought is for you to use like a tool, like a knife, understand? To shape things, cut things, and do things that help you. You use that knife to cut yourself, hurt yourself, and harm yourself, and make yourself miserable, and hit out at other. And you somehow think you are using thought correctly. means you are really deluded and very stupid. You are given this, what they call by nature, or you can say God. You are given these two beautiful vehicle and tool, form and mind, for you to come to this universe, to live life, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Instead, you use this tool wrongly to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out another, and make everything crazy, and your karma also crazy. Then you suffer, people suffer, everybody suffer. Is that the way to use this form and mind to live life? You go and ask and yourself and contemplate deep into it. This is really stupid. Really, really stupid. To me, I always tell you, I really, really have a lot of gratitude and contentment and joy. Every moment, every instant, because this form of mind is so beautiful, so good for me to use. You can only come to this universe with a form of mind. I call this a vehicle. Without this, you cannot come. Then your nature cannot talk, cannot come out, cannot live. You need a form of mind. This is the fire aggregate of form and mind, karmically conditioned out for you to use. And this is the one that can experience life to the fullest. Understand now? Live life to the fullest. Why are you so stupid to the extent that you use it so wrongly and miserably and make the whole mess out of your life? Understand now? That is really suffering. You can see that. But to the enlightenment, it's so clear though. And you cannot imagine living being can be like that. No? Unless you are really heedless and deluded and S-T-U-P-I-D. True or not? True or not? Now you look back, reflect, you laugh. Before you know the Dhamma, I tell you, crazy, man. You are no different from them. Man. You also in tears. Man. You also have emotion. Man. You also have anger, hatred, jealousy. All the crazy emotions inside you. Oh, you hate your children. You hate all those people who cheat you and deceive you and play you out. That's all. Now you realize over the years after you have cultivated the Dhamma, all this negativity like hardly arise. Understand? And that is the tremendous change. To you, you think normal. But to all those heedless ones, how come you got no emotion? Or you got no anger? How come you always cheerful? Always very happy? Like my wife in the school, you go and ask a colleague. Your colleague always used to, when they together, they used to report to me. Wow, your wife, very good. They say, 没有脾气的. You know what is 没有脾气? No emotion, no anger, no temper. Every time very cheerful. Yeah. School, you know, a lot of politics on. A lot of gossip, everything in the staff room, especially. They got political. Some side the headmaster, some don't like the headmaster. Some side the senior assistant, some don't like the senior assistant. Then they form gang. this gang, that gang, all different. In the office also got a lot of political. Some, they uncut the management because the management is close to them and they get a lot of goodies from all the... Then those who are jealous, when they form another gang. Then when they change boss, this gang take over, then the other gang die. Then they change all the secretary, everything. Last time I worked in an organization was like that one, in a university. When the vice chancellor is this one and the three deputy vice chancellor, these three, all the men go up. All the secretary get promoted under them. Then when the new one come, all get demoted and go somewhere else. And the new group come. You can see the politics happening. Every time change of position, things change. All the president's men gone. Then new one come out. Human beings mind, I don't know why, they have this type of negativity. They want to like divide and rule and control. Okay, so that part I think useful for life. Now we go back to the Dhamma. 4.1. Okay, but when you are in the moment without thought, then it's a different thing. So you are very fortunate, you can have this understanding and experience. Mind is full of awareness, and then you are without thought. See, in the retreat especially, then you do daily mindfulness. Most of the time you can be in that state. Then when your daily mindfulness stable, throughout the day you are in that state. I've been in that state for the last 25 years. So it can be done, not difficult at all. That time I was working, I was having a family, I got children, I got wife, I got my parents, my brother, sister, I got friends, colleagues. I'm like a normal human being. But yet it can be done. That's why meditation can be done anywhere, any place, any time. You don't have to give reason. I still working, I got no time. Wait till I retire. After you retire already, here so noisy, I must go retreat. Go retreat here, not so conducive. I must go to a better one. I must go to a better place. You keep on giving reason. Then when you have time to retire, you say, cannot afford. I still need to work. I still have to work. You go and work. Because to you, life is work, work, work. Work until what happens? Until the breath stop, you still cannot forget about your work. So that is too bad. But you can afford, you plan your life. Simple life. It can be very, very meaningful. And your life can be very beautiful. When you have a, what they call, stress-free life, when you can do the thing you want to do, when you understand the Dhamma, life can be so beautiful, so meaningful. The third phase of Dhamma, remember? That is the fruit of your hard work. And it can actually arise. But most people don't have much time left. By the time they finish phase one and phase two, they are very at the tail end already. I was very lucky. I was very young. 25 years ago, I was only 35 years old. 1989, whatever. I was born in 54. So that time, I was thinking, wow, life is really beautiful. I said, how come so lucky? actually, nothing to do with luck. It's a lot to do with your past. We are in the past, a lot of hard work, diligence. People don't know. So you think, wow, very lucky. Actually, nothing to do with luck. Okay, we go on. That's why I said, you never inquire, full of what? When the mind is full of awareness, it cannot have thought, anasana. When you have continuous mindfulness throughout the day, you hardly arise any thought. It can only be aware. But that word is not used commonly. Only in recent years, later teachers use that word. Then they try incorporating them now. That's why awareness now becomes a new word. The actual word should be pure awareness without thought. And then that is sati, anasana. Awareness without the content, anasana. Pure awareness without the content of consciousness, without the aggregate of mind. That is sati. That's why when you see things as they are, before the perception, before the knowing, that reality, just like a baby when it's born, no memory, nothing, how they see? They very naive, very cute. Everything they see, no fear, nothing. They like very happy with what their perception offer to them. And it's pure perception, no labeling. That time they really see things as they are, where they are not conditioned yet. They don't even know what is color. For you, oh, very capable, pink, red, wow, not so nice. Old already, wither already. Because your memory and your conditioning keep on reacting to what you see. That's why this mind is very capable. So it cannot see things as they are. But when you are silent and aware, there is nothing. That's why when I look at this so-called microscope, I look at the totality, you know. I don't look at this thing as a concept, you know. I look at everything as it is. You know. Of course, I want to perceive, I can perceive. But I perceive it, I don't think, I don't comment, I don't react. And I know what is it. That's it. Just aware, perceive, aware, then silent. Asana. Asana. Even as I speak to you, I got no thought. So we go on. Be with the moment without thought. Is the mind off? Is it off? It got s sound. Press it down. Press it down all the way. Off already. Okay, good. Maybe it's a wire distortion. Never mind. Okay, never mind. Be with the moment without thought. But they went on to confuse it with another Pali word. And then they say, it carries the meaning of remembrance and recollection. You heard of this, isn't it? Yeah? They always say sati. Got a lot of thing to do with memory, isn't it? Remembrance, isn't it? You heard of that, isn't it? They are not wrong, but they don't understand what is sati. That's the problem. I explained to you. Then they say sati has a lot to do with memory and recollection. So what is sati? I don't want to know the history, because when I meditate, I can be with the moment without thought. Hence, I can understand. Asana. That's why you don't try to know when you meditate. That is the advice. Then through your silent mind, you understand. That's why I know what sati is. Sati is mind in fullness, full of awareness without thought. That's why I say sati is awareness before the knowing. And you just aware. Why can't you just be aware? Because you think a lot. You are so heedless. And you are seldom aware within the moment because of your habitual tendency of heedlessness or habitual heedless thinking. You also have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and the hindrance of mind like sensual desire, ill will, restlessness, and doubt keep on arising to haunt you. Hence the reason why you cannot be aware. So this part is very important, because when you are heedless, your hindrance keep on arising until it becomes habitual tendency. Anasana. Every day, throughout the day, you don't believe you checked last time before you develop daily mindfulness and heedfulness or understanding. Everything you see also you react on. Like and dislike, present and unpleasant. Then you got story on, comment. Everything you hear is the same. Then sometimes you think of something or you see something, then the condition arise, then the thought trigger over it. So all of your consciousness that arise with every moment of sense experience, you have this sensual desire, you will know, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, oscillating. So every day or so, you do like that. It becomes habitual tendency. So that's why you cannot stop on it. You see only on the comment already. It becomes a habit, Asana. Just like Chuya, when you mention about birthday or politics, he will know how to speak already, not talk about it. But there is a habit. But now she changed a lot, Asana. But last time without heedfulness, you say only, whoa, come on, baby, this is your specialty. No, you're wrong, you don't understand that thing. So same, other people with other specialty, you know how it come about, yeah? It become a habit to you, understand? It's autopilot. like they call automatic action. No need to remember. Then sometimes when you want to go somewhere, you drive your car out, automatically the car go there. That is the route you always take out. Then suddenly your wife asks, hey, where are we going? How come you drive here? Oh, sorry. Because habitual. Then when you see something, habitual pop. So without mindfulness, without heedfulness, very difficult, understand? There's a habitual tendency develop heedlessness, understand? Yes. Pass the mic. Pass the mic, Sally. Yes.
The question I want to ask is mindfulness, that means you are at the present moment all the time with full awareness. I remember I read it somewhere in the Dhammapada, one of the verse. He say, we have to transcend the present moment to lead to transcend the present moment. If we are able to do that, then we will reach the shore of Nibbana. I want you to comment.
Sadhu. Oh, it's a very good question. You understand what she asked or not? Huh? Because like I always used to explain to you all, maybe I will repeat it one more time. You see, this Dhamma that the Buddha teach is very difficult to understand. So according to her, somewhere in the Dhammapada verse, I don't know, but there must be. Because the Buddha talked about for you to reach the other shore, means realize Nibbana. You have to transcend even the moment, understand? The present moment. Because the present moment is still within existence, understand? Within life. So last time I used to explain to you all, life is equivalent to what? Life is equivalent to existence. Correct not? Existence is time-based. Correct not? To exist is to go through time. Understand not? So the whole spectrum of time is what? Spectrum of time is? Where existence is to go through time. Understand not? So the whole spectrum of time is past, present, and future. This will cover all of time. Correct not? So this is what existence is all about. So of these three, which is the reality? Past already gone, no more reality. Understand not? Future yet to come, also no more reality. So present moment is the only reality. Understand not? In life. So this is the only reality. In life. And this present moment reality keep on arising. Moment to moment keep on arising. That's why I always say, moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? Human beings' problem is what? They never live the moment. They are hardly aware of the moment. They think a lot. They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they never leave. Agree or not? If you are aware, mindful, you truly live. Because you can be fully conscious, fully aware of that moment. And that moment without thought is so beautiful. Without thought means what? No fear, no worry. No anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And within that moment is peace, tranquility, stillness, clarity, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Understand? That's why to the enlightened one, every moment, every instant is so beautiful, so meaningful. But human being, every moment also think. Worry. Too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. That's why you never live. You never with the moment. So this is the highest in life. Understand? That's why they talk about present moment awareness. Eckhart. Power of now. Remember? So this is the highest in life. Understand? But to transcend life, to go beyond birth and death, you have to transcend even the moment. Understand? That's why Nibbana is the unconditioned, beyond thought, beyond time. Understand? Careful or not? That's why you have to transcend even the present moment. Present moment is still existent. Understand? It's still the moment. Although within the moment you can be full of, you can be thinking, worrying, with fear, emotion, or you can be with silent, in awareness. Understand? So the moment is the only reality in life. Go back and reflect, contemplate. What are you doing moment to moment? And you cannot understand this, you cannot understand life. You don't know how to live. Human being always too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. throughout the day, you ask yourself, you hardly aware, you hardly within the moment. Every moment also like got thing to do. Must go here, must go there, must plan this, must pay bill, must buy this, must see this person, have appointment, everything. Unending. Then after that phone call come. Okay, I will come. If you are throughout the day like that without heedfulness, without awareness, without mindfulness, you sure become heedless. Because your brain, non-stop, like so much thing to do, multitask. Then sometimes they say, I wish I had 26 hours. I wish I got more time. These are crazy people. 24 hours already miserable. Someone want 26. I tell you. The best is no time. When you are silent, that is the most beautiful moment. Yeah. When you are caught in time, you are caught in suffering. Understand? Because sankara, you know what is sankara? All of your mental activity and movement. And what did the Buddha say? Sabbe sankara? Anicang means what? Come and go, come and go. If you don't understand this, sabbe sankara? Dukkang, suffering. And you somehow go and think. You somehow continuously arise your emotion, your mental intention, your sankara, your perception. You do all this funny thing. You think you very intelligent, very great. Huh? You can do a lot of things. You are a great doctor, engineer, lawyer. Every day you sankara. So when you are in this delusion or cocoon, you will be caught by sankara. That's why the Buddha already warned you. All of sankara is impermanent. They come and go. How come they got power over you? How come they can make you so miserable? It's only a thought. Agree or not? Then why you allow that thought, which is only a consciousness that arises and passes away, to have such power over your life and make you so miserable? So full of suffering, fear, worry, anxiety. That one Alicia showed no one. That's why now she read sankara. I said, think also like that, don't think also. All the wrong thought, no need to think. So life becomes so simple. Every day have joy, happiness. That do her routine. Life becomes so peaceful. Understand or not? True or not? Because all of sankara lead to suffering. That's why the Buddha already defined for you. But you never go deep into it, no. You only quote. Sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Wow, like you know everything, rattle up and down. But the real meaning, you don't understand. Why? You understand theory, you cannot apply. That's all. When you can apply, you can describe like what I described just now. And then you listen, really, so simple. That's all. It's only a thought, come and go. How come you have such power? Who gives you such power? Your delusion is there. Your sakayadity is there. Your stupidity is there. Do you use a more harsh word in there? So now you understand already why you still so gullible. Why you still believe the thought? Why you still allow sankara to be like that? That's why you must cultivate Noble Eightfold Path to arrive right thought. Sankara is only a problem when you don't have right view and wisdom, when you arise the wrong thought. Sankara is beautiful if you know how to use through Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought. That condition, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Thought is like money, neither good or evil. It depends on the user, always remember. Understand? Or? So sankara also depends on the user. If the user is not wise, then sankara becomes dukkha. Understand? Or? Sabbe sankara dukkang. Because you don't have wisdom. When you have wisdom, sabbe sankara, beautiful. They are pure aggregate, non-grasping. Suffering only arises when there is delusion to grasp onto the aggregate. They become upadana khandas. They are called grasping aggregate with the selfishness, with the greed, hatred, and delusion, with the fear. They become miserable. Okay, 10:30. We can end. Okay. Maybe I just read this part, the 4.2, I didn't finish just now. But they went on to confuse it with another Pali word, the one we finished. Then they say sati has a lot to do with memory and recollection. So what is sati? I don't want to know the history, because when I meditate, I can be with the moment without thought. Hence, I can understand. That's why I know what sati is. Sati is mind in fullness, full of awareness without thought. That's why I said sati is awareness before the knowing. And you're just aware. Why can't you just be aware? Because you think a lot. You are so heedless. And you are seldom aware within the moment because of your habitual tendency of heedlessness or habitual heedless thinking. You also have a lot of fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and the hindrance of mind like sensual desire, ill will, restlessness and doubt. They keep on arising to haunt you. Hence the reason why you cannot be aware. Then number 5 onward, you go back and read. These are very useful. So that next Tuesday we come, we go through this part. This part will be very beautiful. This part, when you understand, you know how to live. Your sati will develop. I even teach you what are the two types of sati. General spacious awareness and specific phenomenal awareness. Okay, now we end. We'll do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata chubumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Ittavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Mm-hmm.